Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the first reading from this weekend's readings, we have one of the most perplexing and challenging readings in all of sacred scripture. It's the story of God demanding Abraham to sacrifice his son. Now notice how it begins. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." This scripture passage has vexed and confounded scripture scholars throughout the centuries. Isaac is the only beloved son of Abraham. He is truly a gift from God. In fact, Isaac is an instrumental part of the covenant that God creates with Abraham. Through Isaac, he will fulfill all of God's promises. Recall the story back from Genesis. The three men that appear out of nowhere and they visit Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, being good hosts, extend generous hospitality to these three men. Well, these three men prefigure the Holy Trinity. Abraham and Sarah, they usher them off to a shaded area to rest, and then they wait on them hand and foot. They give them a very special meal. And then when they are finished eating, the three men get up and are about to leave. One of them looks at Abraham, and he says, "I will come back 1 year from now, and your wife will be pregnant with your child." Well, upon hearing this, Sarah bursts out in a loud roar of laughter. She and Abraham are both in their 90s. And yet, prophecy comes true. A year from then, Sarah gives birth to her only son, Isaac. And Isaac, the word in Hebrew means God laughs. Well, this child, Isaac, is very special. Important, yes, he is their only beloved son. Not just because of his miraculous birth, but God tells Abraham that through his son Isaac, Abraham will become the father of many nations. His descendants will be numerous as the stars in the sky. So Isaac meant everything to Abraham and Sarah. He was their beloved son. And yet, God now comes to Abraham, and he says to him, "That son that I gave you, that beautiful gift of life that I've given you, I want him back, and I want him back right now." Worse yet, God tells Abraham that he wants Abraham himself to carry out the sacrifice. Now we can only imagine the anguish that Abraham felt hearing this from God. We can only imagine the questions that ran through Abraham's mind. How can God allow this to happen? You know, what could God want with Isaac? How could God allow this to happen? He gave us this miracle child, and now he wants to take them back? How? Well, these questions probably gnawed at the very depth of Abraham's heart. Now, there's that epic scene. We don't hear it in the first reading, but if you turn to Genesis, there's that epic scene of Abraham and Isaac journeying to Mount Moriah, where God demands the sacrifice take place. The journey takes 3 days from where Abraham is to Mount Moriah. Now, during this three-day journey, they walk, they eat, and they camp together. During this whole time, Abraham is wrought with anxiety. He knows what is going to happen to his beloved son. He knows that once they reach their destination of Mount Moriah, God is going to call upon him to do something he does not want to do, to kill his only son. Now, Isaac, during this whole time, he's oblivious to what is going on. He trusts and believes that he and his father are traveling to Mount Moriah to make a sacrifice, to sacrifice an animal as a spiritual offering to God, something that they've done before. He never suspects that he himself will be the sacrifice. Finally, they arrive at Mount Moriah. Abraham then places the wood of the sacrifice on Isaac's shoulders. Isaac now is carrying the instrument of his own destruction. Then there is that gut-wrenching scene in which Abraham and Isaac are climbing Mount Moriah. Isaac turns to Abraham and he says, "Father, where is the animal that we are about to sacrifice to God?" Abraham says to Isaac, "God will provide. God will provide." Finally, they build the altar. Abraham binds Isaac's hands and his feet. He lays him down upon the altar. He takes out his knife and is about to slay his only son. And immediately an angel grabs his arm. And God says to Abraham, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have acted as you did, and not withholding to me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly, and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of your enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing." Well, what are we to make of this? How are we to understand this story? Well, I think it's a basic and yet the great biblical truth in all of sacred scripture. Your life will grow. Your faith will increase and be nurtured by the very measure in which you give it away in service to God. I'll say it again. Your life will grow. Your faith will increase by the very measure in which you give it away in service to God. Now go back to the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham is ready to give his most prized possession, his only beloved son, to God. God sees that, and what does he do? He strengthens Abraham's faith. He makes his life grow and increase to the extent that Abraham is going to be the father of many nations. Abraham is blessed for it. And yet, what's the temptation for us all? To cling to the things that we have. What does the world tell us? If you have something that you love or is a prized possession, grasp it, hold on to it, cling to it. You've earned it. Don't share it with anyone. And yet, what does the Bible tell us? Your life will grow. Your faith will increase by the very measure in which you give it away in service to God. And what does God do then? God takes what we give him, our very self. He takes our heart, our mind, our soul, our will, and our intellect. He blesses it, strengthens it, and then he gives it back to us. Great example of this is the stewardship. Stewardship, time, talent, and treasure that I'm constantly preaching. We must do just that. Give it away in service to God. Great example of this is in my parish, we have established a St. Vincent de Paul meal program. In this program, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of volunteers. They either bring food to the parish, they either cook the food here at the parish, or they take the food and they serve it to the poor and the hungry and the homeless. Every one of these persons will tell you they get far more out of it than they put into this program. These are people that give themselves away every month. They give themselves away by feeding the poor, by doing exactly what God tells us to do. They take whatever they have and they give it all away. And what happens? Their lives and their faith increase all the more. That's just one great example of what God is teaching us in this first reading. And yet, where does it reach its perfection? In the gospel. Turn to the gospel, and we hear the story of the transfiguration. Now we are on Mount Tabor with Jesus and the apostles. In the first reading, we were on Mount Moriah, Isaac and Abraham. Well, now Jesus and his apostles, they climb Mount Tabor, and Jesus is miraculously transfigured before his own apostles. Heaven and earth unite through Jesus Christ. The light of the world of heaven, the world we are all tending to, breaks into our world and miraculously transfigures Jesus Christ. This gives us the hope and the reassurance of what awaits us all. And yet, in this event, it reinforces that great biblical truth. Our life and our faith will grow by the very measure in which we give it away. It reaches its perfection in Jesus Christ, in his passion, death, and resurrection. By the very measure in which Jesus gives his life away in his crucifixion, our world, we have life, life eternally. Now appreciate the irony of these stories. Abraham and Isaac, they both climb Mount Moriah for the sacrifice. Isaac himself, he carries the instrument of his own destruction on his shoulders. Jesus climbs a mountain himself, Mount Calvary. He also carries the instrument of his destruction on his shoulders. And yet, what is the difference in these two stories? Abraham is not allowed to carry out the sacrifice, but God the Father is. God the Father carries out the sacrifice in his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And herein lies the frightening truth. God the Father sacrifices his Son for our sake and our sake alone. And yet, also herein lies the beauty of the first reading. The first reading of the story of Abraham and Isaac, it conjures up all that emotion. It generates all that emotion, and yet it is meant to be transferred to God the Father and God the Son. And the anguish that God the Father has, or can only imagine, when he sacrifices his only Son in order to save us. And yet, therein lies the great biblical truth. If you want your life to grow, if you want your faith to increase and be nurtured, then give it all away in service to God. See, Jesus Christ is the purest and the quintessential example of that all. Hold nothing back. In fact, what I would say during this season of Lent, gaze upon the crucifix, Jesus Christ on the cross. That is a great and a gentle reminder of this great biblical truth. Your life and your faith will grow by the very measure in which you give it all away in service to God and others in this world. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.